Is it both coach?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I don't fucking know him.
In the loosest sense of the word.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a smooth boy. Look at this guy.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Jim Boylan is Kingpin if Daredevil was a comedy.
Yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to Full Court Mess, your basketball hot take podcast, where we discuss the hottest basketball takes we've seen online, people have sent to us, we've thought of, and any other bad ideas that pop into our heads over the last week. I'm your local Baja Blast fan, Jared.
I am your Baja Men listener, Joe.
Ooh, I am your Trey Young witnesser, Will.
And we have a special guest this week, Bo Quintana. Famous for his daily Snaxophone tweets. Bo, I have a tweet I want to bring up at the start of this.
I'd love to hear it.
Jared. You said, dreamt about the NBA, but instead of high-fiving each other, the players would give each other little pecks on the cheek when a substitution was made.
Okay.
I like it.
Honestly, I don't think it's that different than the ass-slapping thing that they've always done, right?
Right.
How about, I thought that would have been if I, you know, if I didn't have that horrible knee injury when I was in high school, when I went pro, that would have been the hardest part of the NBA for me because I don't like getting touched on my butt, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't understand that at all.
Right. I don't think it's that much of a departure from what's already happening. Maybe it's still, you know, in our through this culture war, if the progressives win, the liberal agenda gets out there, maybe we're going to start seeing Trey Young and Kevin Herter make out on the court.
I mean, like, that kiss on the cheek, though, every sub, I would actually love that.
That would be fucking sick, dude. That would really be nice.
This has made me realize what I really want is, like, the intricate handshake routines, but for the ass slapping. Like, long 30-second clapping routines,
drum solos where the center is the bigs on the team are like the bass drums, and then nice. Point guards are ride cymbals.
I actually had some great ass clapping routines on my high school baseball teams. I could give them some notes, some ideas, maybe.
Wow,
NBA, bring Will on as an ass consultant, please.
Yeah,
I think I've shown my merit and my qualifications by this point.
All right, before we hit into the news, or before we hit into the enlightenment take, who is the biggest ass expert in the league right now? And why is it Jay Crowder?
Well, it definitely has to be Jay Crowder.
Yeah. All right.
But
why does it have to be Jay Crowder?
I don't
fill me in. This is a pre-enlightenment take.
Instinct. That's really what I was going with there.
I'm thinking like a Marcus Smart type.
Oh my God, you're right.
Especially, and if I have to justify it, I'm going for, he's so good at getting around screens. He must have felt up so many asses that were trying to gently bump him out of the way as the guard ran away from him.
Yeah.
He just slithers right by him. He's got to acutely understand the space an ass fills up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, Will, hit us with that enlightenment.
All right. So this is going to relate to a fair bit of news that we'll get into with Devin Booker, but I figured a good spot to check would be just replies to the Phoenix Suns tweets about Devin Booker going off for 59, because they were guaranteed to be full of rational people. and so just checked one where the Suns were tweeting, "Stole the show in Utah. Devin Book is tonight's Carl's Jr., 3 stars, or whatever. Star of the game, 59 points and the rest of his stats. So one guy responds, "Stole the show? How's that 33-piece nugget?" Which, for those who didn't witness the game, the Suns lost by 33 in this game where Booker scored 59, which is a nice metaphor for his career. But I really love this reply to it because I felt like I instinctually wanted to disagree, but couldn't really come up with a reason to, where said, pretty sure him scoring 59 was more impressive and exciting than the Jazz beating the worst team in the West while they're injured. And I was like, you're probably right, but something feels weird about saying the guy who scored the points on the terrible team is more impressive than the team who beat the shit out of him while he did it.
True, true.
Yeah.
Like, you can't brag and say, like, yo, we're the worst team in the West, so beating us doesn't mean anything, while talking about how good the player is. Theoretically, he's somewhat better if he's that impressive.
You know that that game made Devin Booker the first in NBA history to score 50 or more points while his team lost by 30 or more?
Really?
What a Devin Booker stat.
History making.
I do really appreciate that take, though, because, I mean, I'm always fighting to get, like, wins and losses to only be counted as, like, team accomplishments. But also, the whole problem with my whole issue with Devin Booker is I have no clue if he contributes to winning. So I've
got the box score pulled up right now. He had the he was up there on his plus minus for what looks like the 10 players that played. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, so 10 players played, and he had the with a negative 13, the third best. The best of the night was Dragon Bender with 4 points, 3 rebounds. 2 fouls, minus 7.
Right? Wow. That sounds like the Carl's Jr. star of the game to me.
That sounds like it to me, too. The other guy that did better was Ray Spalding, who I've never heard of, who went 0 for 1 from the field and fouled a guy.
Ray Spalding invented basketball. His name's on all the basketball.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Louisville legend.
But Booker had a really good night. Usually, like when he dropped 70, his efficiency was pretty subpar. But he went 56% from the field, 5 for 8 from three, and I like this one a lot, 16 for 17 from the line.
Oh, baby. You know, I saw there was a whole breakdown of how it was the most efficient game of, like, that many points or more ever.
Yeah.
So, like, it is more impressive. It's just funny to me to be, like, jumping in with it, like, oh, you think that wasn't more impressive than team who withstood it and still murdered his team as it happened?
Gobert had a really good game, too. I remember when I checked NBA, the little app, it showed Booker's line at, like, the game recap on the front page, but also said that Gobert had, like, 22-10, which is just every night for him. So it's like, here's the real story here.
Can we – oh, I had a – I want to tangentially get into Gobert really quick.
Go for it.
Because I saw the stat that he has the most dunks in the NBA this year. And I saw people arguing that that was quote unquote actually pretty sad because it's the only thing he can do on offense. And disregarding everything, if you think having the most dunks in the league is actually sad, I wish you were not allowed to watch basketball.
Right.
What is wrong with you?
Rudy Gobert averaging 3 dunks a game. Hashtag sad. Sad exclamation point.
Utilizing a means of, like, efficient and, like, near guaranteed scoring.
Yeah.
Sad.
Idiot.
I don't want to get into that. He can do other things on offense. Like, he's not an incredible offensive player, but he's at least fine. But
yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as Gobert develops a 3-point shot, he's unstoppable.
But leading the league in dunks is never not a good thing.
Right.
I thought I would have been Pat Connaughton.
My boy Pat. Planet Pat.
Not dunking.
Dude, he loves dunking, man.
If you had a 42-inch vertical, you would love dunking too.
Steph Curry with a 40-inch vertical? That's what he is, baby.
Can I bring up
this guy gets it.
A quick Booker take?
Please do.
Tell me if this is a hot take or not, that Devin Booker is the logic of the NBA. And Devin Booker fans are the logic fans of the NBA.
Second one is definitely true.
Yeah.
We're talking Logic the rapper, correct?
Yes.
Not just like the Logic idea. As a concept.
No.
If P, then Q, you know what I'm talking about?
Is Devin Booker going to kill himself?
For what?
What was that Logic song where the title was like the suicide hotline?
Oh, yeah.
Was that around,
I don't listen to Logic. Hearing that song made me hate him because of when he says, like, in the chorus or refrain or whatever, I want to die, like, I want to kill myself. And then the guy in the background goes, "Who can relate? Woo!" Is the single best, like, presentation profiting off of people being depressed that I've...
Right, like, I mean, I can respect, like, what they're trying to do with that, and, like, also getting the number out there is also very good, and awareness is very important. However, that was not it.
Keep the woos out.
It's kind of weird that, like, our reaction to it is almost entirely negative. Or actually, yeah, entirely negative. Like, Macklemore got away with it, like, 5 years ago. Pretty much scot-free, right? Nobody gave Macklemore any shit for, like, saying, when I was in third grade, I thought I was gay.
Oh.
As someone who was online at that time, online people gave him.
Okay.
Yeah, he did get a lot of... Yeah. He had his share.
He got it. No one cares about this stuff in real life, but they all got it on Twitter. Which player has, like, the J. Cole fans of the NBA, where to appreciate that player, you have to have a certain level of intelligence, bro?
Harden.
Harden's up there for sure.
I feel bad because I feel like I kind of do appreciate Harden's game, and I'm not a J. Cole fan.
You're just so smart.
I like how Harden played. Like, I really like how he played on the Thunder, but I feel that when he had all those unassisted points and ESPN was tweeting out, like, pictures of 250 unassisted points and consecutively, it's like, that's not good, you know?
Yo, that unassisted points, that's totally, like, J. Cole's, like, I never had a feature.
Yeah, no. That's what it is.
God damn it. I'd spend a lot of time wondering how good Houston fans actually think Harden is, because they think he's so, like, persecuted that I think they're constantly, like, performing, like, hyperbole to make him seem better. Like, yo, he's the GOAT. But the way they talk about it, I also wonder if they actually believe it sometimes.
I'm sure they do.
The Houston League pass is without a doubt, like, the most bizarre thing. I think a couple years ago or maybe last year, I was tuning in and it was saying, go vote for the Rockets to be the all-star team. And then one of the commentators said, come on, guys, you know we've got 5 all-stars on there. I was like, let me try to think about who those are. That would be Harden. I think Chris Paul, I think he was on the team then. Ryan Anderson was still on the team, and that was the only guy that I thought could be the fifth, right? Because then you get Capella, and then I think Gordon. Then who else? Maybe Ariza? He was on the team then too.
Was Mbamute there?
Wasn't who?
Mbamute?
This was during Anderson's hot streak, though, when he was shooting really well, but only in away games.
That rule.
Whatever. The point is, Houston fans are just the worst fans in the NBA, probably.
They're up there for sure.
They were by far my least favorite fans for a season. I think it was like maybe around like 14, 15 or something like that. It was pre-Chris Paul, but I have a ton of tweets complaining about Houston fans from a season about like 4 years ago.
I'm just glad that Ginobili blocked that Harden shot. That was such a good moment.
That was awesome.
That ruled.
Like, I feel like the Rockets are definitely up there for me as like one of the worst, only maybe getting beat by like the Jazz, but that's also like for very different reasons.
Warriors fans, am I right?
Oh, Warriors fans definitely have their issues for sure.
For the most part, they're okay though.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's definitely biased for me to say anything, but I think it's better than some of the others for sure.
I'll be the first to take the blow for myself. Spurs fans are like 50-50. There's a lot of just truly awful Spurs fans out there.
Are they like?
I'll jump in. There's 8 Wizards fans, and I know all of them. There's one of them I don't like. I'm pretty good with the others.
It's a tight knit community, then, right?
How are they doing?
On the subject of All Star League Pass announcers, the worst League Pass announcers at the time, right around All Star season, was always the Raptors with Lowry and DeRozan. Because they would nonstop plug it the entire time. Like, in the middle of plays, like, "Oh, and there goes DeMar Vote DeRozan with the long two." And then they would complain in like downtime about how like, "Oh, but we know people aren't actually going to vote them in as starters." I was like, "My God, there's a basketball game happening right now."
DeRozan voted in as a starter the last year he was on Toronto, didn't he?
Lowry got it like 2 years ago.
Got a starter 2 years ago.
That was the year where Kyrie was injured, and people were trying to get him as a starter, like maybe 3 years ago, because they knew he wouldn't be in the game otherwise, because he missed so much time in the first half of the year. But a Raptors fan auctioned off like a free iPhone or MacBook if you retweeted the tweet with like "Vote Lowry" in it, and so he got like 2 million retweets or something stupid on this tweet, and it pushed Lowry ahead.
Wow,
that's dumb, man.
Cavs fans were really mad, but I definitely supported things that made Cavs fans mad.
So. Yeah, I mean, that kind of rules.
It was funny.
It's like, it's shitty, definitely that rules.
When Ginobili got like 2 times the votes that Harden got last year, but they didn't let him in, even as a reserve, that sucked. But it also ruled the duality of basketball.
True.
Speaking of the duality of basketball, Jimmer Fredette.
And we've come full circle.
Full circle.
All right.
Jimmer, welcome back. We were just talking about you.
Who is best qualified to break down what happened in that glorious debacle with Jimmer and Devin Booker?
Uh-oh.
I think it's you.
All right. For anyone, the magnum opus on this, I think, was written by Tom Ziller. So we can retweet that. You can check it out. He wrote a great breakdown of what happened at the end of this game. But essentially, Booker had over 50 points, as pulled out of the game. His team was getting waxed against the Jazz. And then they put Booker back in late, very obviously just to try to get 60, which, whatever, have fun. At the same time, though, Jimmer was in the game, and it was in Utah, so the Utah fans were crazy for Jimmer. Every time he got the ball, they were cheering like crazy, and he couldn't make a shot to save his life. He was like 0 for 10 from the field at one point, late in the game. And so this game concludes with the Jazz trying really hard to keep Devin Booker from getting 60, Jimmer trying really hard to score, Devin trying really hard to score. And so it ends with Jimmer stealing shots from Devin Booker late in the game to try to get a bucket on the board in Utah.
I looked at him
dying because he has 59 points and wants nothing more than to get 60. To the point where Jimmer has like 4 points and finally makes a bucket, and they're running out of time, so the Suns foul the Jazz to try to get the ball back. But then when the Suns get the ball back, the Jazz intentionally foul a different player other than Devin, so he can't.
They fouled Jimmer a couple of times. He went 4 for 4 from free throws, so
that's a good way
to do it. But he went 1 for 10 from the night and 0 for 5 from three. They signed him for 2 years, right?
I think it's the rest of the season, and then there's a team option.
Oh my God, I just assumed he was on a 10-day. He's on a 2-year deal.
He's on a 2-year contract.
So it's the rest of this season, and then, yeah, Jared said it's a team option for next season.
Okay, so, I mean, well, that's all.
Yeah, it's not really.
Does anyone know?
It's got to be the men.
Yeah.
It has to be.
What a bold move, considering the team is going to decide whether they take you back next year, and you're out on the court actively pissing off their franchise player.
I mean, Jimmer's going to be the new franchise player.
I know. Dude, the Jimmer Zion and Ayton show, that's going to be pretty good.
Okay.
I would like to have the last 2 minutes of that game put on loop in a frame in my house.
Because it's an instant classic.
Incredible. It was just like whichever one the ball bounced to between Jimmer and Devin Booker was going to instantly shoot it.
It's peak Suns.
It is such a fun dynamic that had to piss Booker off even more that all the Utah fans were actively cheering for Jimmer to score.
Kind of surprised that Oubre didn't get in on that. It seems in his character, right?
Very in his character. I'm not sure I've seen Oubre pass the ball this year.
Yeah. What a good team.
What? They are just... Please don't let Zion go there.
Literally. We talked about the curse of Phoenix, last week or the week before, of like any draft pick that has gone there, even Devin Booker, like we have to assume that if Devin Booker had gone to any other team, he'd be averaging 40 a game.
Devin Booker has a great case on being like right on the cusp of superstardom, and he's just like a joke for the most part because he's in Phoenix.
Right. Phoenix could build through the draft and get like a full squad of amazing near superstar players and not make playoffs.
Absolutely not. They wouldn't win 25 games.
No.
The worst thing is, you know who had the pick after the Suns, like when they took Devin Booker?
I don't.
It was the Thunder, and they took Campaign. Oh. The whole thing was like, yo, if Devin Booker can fall to the Thunder, like, he's on that team. That's when they still had Kevin Durant. And it's like, that's the shooting guard. They finally get the shooting guard. And the Suns got him a pick early, and the Thunder got Campaign. Who worked out great because he gave us all the dancing videos with Westbrook, but...
And that's what right. we're here for.
Where's the true value of a player? Think of the ass-slapping routines Westbrook right. and Campaign could have developed had the league progressed to that point.
Devin Booker has never given me a GIF that I can send to a friend that shows how tight our friendship is, like Russell Westbrook and Cameron Payne did together.
Will, did the Wizards lose at all to the Suns this year?
You know, I've tried to avoid them as much as possible, but I don't think they did.
Wow. That, because
don't check if the Warriors or Bucks have. We'll just assume they haven't.
On to the next.
I listened to that on the radio while I was playing video games, and they lost by like 20. I don't.
The Bucks got swept by Phoenix this year, so
I think the Spurs won. Yeah, no. The Spurs won the second game with a Rudy Gay fadeaway buzzer beater, dude.
Oh wait. Oh, that's the one where Pop was furious after and was like, we did not deserve to win that game
at all. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love Pop.
But for the record, the Wizards are playing the Suns for the second time tonight, so I can't get too Ooh. Cocky too fast. But Ooh, okay. the one time they played already this year was in D.C., and it was a triple overtime, 149-146 win for the Wizards, which, and this is important.
I remember that. Thomas Bryant went like 20 for 20.
Yes. And Pusha T was at the game, and I cannot stress this enough, he stayed for the entire game.
Oh my god, that man. Ruled.
That wraps up the season.
That game ruled, dude. Booker makes this whole season that. Worthwhile. Booker took the worst possible shots, like at the end of each overtime. It was beautiful.
So
and then somebody tweeted Thomas Bryant's just like Kobe Bryant, but he doesn't miss.
Thomas Bryant had a
perfect take, galaxy brain take,
absolutely
in the last couple nights. So that was nice too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm if the Wizards can sweep the Suns, you know, fingers crossed. I'll be sure to fire off a Suns ? Text to Joe and Jared as soon as it happens.
So, Bo, you're a Spurs fan.
I'm a big old Spurs fan.
Living in Atlanta, right?
Yeah. Well, I lived in San Antonio. My dad was one of the sports boys for the Express News, right?
Oh, okay.
So 2005, I was a little five-year-old during the finals. I went to game 6 of the finals against the Pistons, and we lost. But Fabrizio Roberto threw me a shirt, and I think I lost it.
Oh,
man. I know.
Incredible.
Dude, that was my 15 minutes. Shirt thrown by the Argentinian, the first Argentinian center on the Spurs.
What an origin story.
I know. How Chavez Twitter is doing today. I bet he's good.
So how are you feeling about the Spurs this season?
Honestly, I don't think I've ever really been this optimistic about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do not particularly enjoy watching DeMar DeRozan. I do like Aldridge. I don't understand why I like Aldridge but not DeRozan. But who I really love, and I wish that Kyle Anderson was still on this team, is my big old forehead boys of Derek White, Bryn Forbes, DeJounte Murray, and at the time, Kyle Anderson, who was the king of the foreheads, right? Oh, my God. It's such a
good spot. The four foreheads.
Okay.
Foreheads of the apocalypse?
We got it. We got it.
Yeah, you got there. But watching Derek White, like, on his good nights, right, it's just so exciting. And I feel butterflies in my stomach. It's like I have a little crush on him. But I don't think I do. But The first, okay, first time I saw him was in a tweet where the Spurs tweeted flannel night, and it was all of the team in flannels, which encapsulated them pretty well. So Pau Gasol was like front and center, and he fit the role. And then Derek White was behind him, and he had it like buttoned all the way up, and he looked like the biggest idiot ever. Oh my God. I love my stupid boys.
But Derek White had a game a couple weeks ago where he had like 7 or 8 blocks, didn't he?
Yeah, he had 6 blocks, and that was against the Hawks. So, I mean, it's not as if he's going out there and destroying Steph or Westbrook, right? Although he did actually lock down Westbrook pretty well. That was the game where Westbrook got 20-something assists. Ooh. So, I mean, can't really do that much about it. He also had like 9 turnovers, though. So, you know, works out. I mean, he is a distributor. He can't score anymore. But that game where Derek got 6 blocks, it was like one of 4 times in the past 30 years that a guard has gotten 6 blocks, and one of the other times was Danny Green. It's crazy.
Ooh, shouts out Danny Green.
I know.
Had to do it.
He's like a my forehead boy.
Right, Danny he's Green, all the way up there. Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Despite having to do it to him one time.
Oh, I remember that. I keep forgetting about that, and then sometimes it just pops in my
head. That's one of my favorite, like, funniest things that a player's ever done and had to apologize for.
I think it's number one, dude. Nobody's ever done anything that stupid in the NBA.
I just, like, I can't imagine, like, the talk you got from Popovich.
Yeah.
That's the subject of, like, every time Popovich has been yelling at him in the huddle. That's always what it was. Like, he would, like, miss a rotation or something like that, and Popovich would start off mad about that, but 30 seconds in would just switch to, and you're at Auschwitz, and you think you need to send that out?
That's why he got traded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it probably is.
There's no other reason why he was just like, oh yeah, a throw-in with Kawhi Leonard. Like, there is absolutely no reason why that happened.
You think Jakob Poeltl is as anti-Semitic as Danny Green must have been in the locker room to get traded? I think it's probably a 1-for-1 on the Jew hating.
You think so?
It didn't actually change it. And that any internal conflict that's going on in the Spurs is blatant racism from Jakob Poeltl. Y'all seen his sunburn a couple weeks ago?
Oh, oh my God. Fuck.
The Pink Mamba?
That's the sunburn of like...
The Pink Mamba.
He got like 5 blocks that game.
That's the sunburn of a man who holds like hatred in himself.
Yeah. But... A, that's a racism sunburn. But B, how do you fall asleep in the sun like that, man?
Right.
What are you doing at?
That shit was bad.
Finished boy.
That man peeled off his whole body to play the next time.
I know. No. He was still sunburnt the next game, and then he got 5 blocks again, and then he wasn't sunburnt, and he got like 0-3 turnovers and 5 fouls.
That was a sunburn of a man who drives a big ass white truck with like a modded muffler.
That's correct. Yeah.
Hillary. Truck nuts on the back.
Yeah, that's a truck nut sunburn.
Like every time he's boxing anybody out, he's just like, quit it. God, it hurts.
It was incredibly impressive that he played as well as he did.
Yeah, that was impressive to see him out there at all.
Yeah.
What would be the funniest, like, incredibly minor thing for an NBA player to be complaining about, like, while boxing someone out? I'm imagining, like, one of them just got, like, a flu shot and is complaining every time, like, somebody bumped his arm. guys, whoa, left arm, come on,
stay clear. My bruise.
I just gave blood today, guys. I can't lift more than my body weight.
Watch the tattoo.
That was rule.
Watch the tattoo.
He's like slamming
still, his arm still wrapped in the plastic bandage. Like, he's like,
don't scratch it.
Guys are blocking each other out. Guy in the front just like, whoa, man, fucking watch it. I got blue balls over here.
It's a medical condition.
Serge Ibaka just sprints onto the court and punches him so hard his nuts explode.
Carlos Boozer makes a shot, does the same thing.
Y'all read that article a few months ago? I think it was the summer of ESPN was talking about all the players that pee themselves in each sport. How like one dude in cycling developed a method to be like lying down on the bike while going down a hill and then just peeing another cyclist's face, and how football players are just constantly pissing themselves. And then he got like interviews and testimony of, yeah, man, gotta do what you gotta do. There's really no bathrooms out there, so I'm just constantly pissing. Do basketball players experience the same issue?
That's actually what they're wiping up every time the players fall down. And they
have to wipe oh my god!
That's what Steph's
bladders just their bladders just burst with pee everywhere, all over the ground.
That's what ruined ruined Steph's dunk.
He played football in high school. My father, so I asked him, "You ever have to piss yourself?" He said no, but I don't think he's telling the truth. I think he did.
we need a recon mission here to find out more. You got to dig deep here, Bo.
What they don't tell us about those new Bucks bench seats. You know, they're warm.
Oh, let me find that story.
And they lift. But they don't know is that you can also piss down them.
That's why they're warm. That's why the seats are hot.
Piss heated.
It's just pissing.
It's recycling. It's good. Good for the earth.
Oh, let me find it.
Can you imagine, like, if on some of those, on like the Sean Kemper Shaq dunks, where they like hang their nuts in the dude's face, and he's just pissing
short. Oh my god!
They just pee all over him while they're dunking. That'd be bad.
Mm. That's such a fucking power move, though.
It would be.
I found the article and I sent it to y'all. If you want to read it, I might tweet it out as well because While I was telling that story, I was wondering if I dreamed it or not. It's just so incredible. It's beautiful.
When athletes got to go, where do they go?
One of the guys who like announces for ESPN football, like Mark Schlereth, I think it was, talks like all the time about like pissing himself and stuff during the games. And I knew football guys did it because they called him like stink or something like that while he played because you could smell it on him.
Troy Aikman just talking with Joe Buck about, well, looks like Dax taking a little break right there on the 50. I don't really know much about football. I'm a Spurs boy.
How much mad would you be if like it came out that like players were peeing themselves in like baseball or something though, where there's breaks all the time?
Well, is there a bathroom in the dugout, right?
Oh yeah.
What if they just connected to the locker room?
They prefer the competitive like they want to feel like other athletes, like real ones. So they decided, well, we just gotta piss ourselves anyway.
Oh, that's great. Can you imagine like the punter on the team is like pissing himself and everyone's like, dog, why? You play 8 plays, go to the bathroom.
You had all this time.
I think it is kind of understandable though, because they drink like 2 gallons of water in 4 hours, right?
Yeah
I would piss myself too.
Yeah, I might try it out once or twice, see if I like it
anyway. Boys, let's do a pants check. Who's wearing pants?
Pants. Pants are on. And dry.
Shorts. Shorts boy here. Checking in.
The Baja Blast I'm drinking has not gone through me yet.
Ooh. Well.
I've got a very loose jogger on. It's very comfortable.
Oh, very all right, nice.
So I'm the only one out here, huh? Assholes.
Bo's currently pissing right now.
You got one nude caster per podcast. So I think you're on for this one, knowing you were going to be here.
Piss cast.
There it is.
Should we?
I found the Bucks heated seats article. Okay. It's pretty great. Made to heat to 106 degrees Fahrenheit, the optimal heat to maintain muscle temperature, according to one study. These sleek matte black seats took 3 years, 12 University of Colorado students, a New Zealand research group, and 6 prototypes to perfect. At the touch of a button, the seats can be raised to accommodate long-limbed Giannis Antetokounmpo or lowered for Eric Bledsoe's more compact frame. Don't bother asking how much they cost. Even the swankiest home goods stores won't be selling these.
I'm not sure I'm compact.
They are heated and adjustable.
I was like, oh, cool, warm seats. I'm sure that has a purpose. But upon hearing that description of them, I would like the Bucks and their seats to fuck all the way off. I want those memes where it's like, we we tweet out like whatever new plane the Pentagon just made or something, and we're like, this is what we have instead of healthcare. I'm doing those, but with those seats now.
Fair enough.
12 University of Colorado students. Like, what do you think the division of labor was there?
You know, one guy did all the work for the group project.
Oh, no, and 11 other people are just like testing it and saying, yeah, it's a little too hot.
Okay, check this out. How many University of Colorado students does it take to make a warm seat?
12.
Yeah,
that's it. That's a good joke.
Anyone can use that.
For free?
Wow.
Wow.
Creative Commons licensing on just, that joke.
Just credit the show. Shout us out.
throw an HT in there.
Should we move on to some other news?
We should.
Perhaps some big baller brand.
Who?
No more. Small baller brand.
Non-baller brand, perhaps.
Nailed it.
There it is. I gotta say, yeah, on the subject of Joe, the only thing that this has really brought back up for me is that article where the guy was talking about how, like, if you order the shoes, you never get them. And he's like, yeah, after 6 weeks of not getting the shoes, I called in to complain, and I was informed that I must be a small baller. That is still the greatest thing that has ever happened.
So
I can't believe anyone even attempted to buy these shoes.
You know, LeVar had to be the one who said that to him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's not like they had a customer service person.
Let's get some context for those who don't know.
So, those who don't know, Lonzo That's Ball, the only ball bro in the NBA, mm-hmm. has deleted all big baller references from his Instagram. Has gotten a tattoo cover-up of his Big Baller Brand tattoo, has changed his Instagram photo to him as a baby wearing a Nike shirt, has posted a new photo on Instagram that says, it's only a crazy dream until you do it,
oh.
which is has been used on some Nike
That's
stuff.
Very inspirational.
With the caption, moving on to bigger and better, hashtag my own man. A key comment Ooh. On this picture is from younger brother LaMelo Ball. Says, love you, brother. Thanks for getting us out, my G. And behind these moves, alleged and all that shit, that a partner going into the founding of Big Baller Brand has made some money disappear. Apparently Lonzo, like, it's like 1.3, 1.4, I think, million dollars has been unable to be accounted for. I guess there's been talk of the family just considering shutting it down, the company Big Baller Brand down.
A million and, here, a million there, that's just the price of doing business.
And, yeah, Lonzo, you know, has come out publicly, said that they've cut ties with, let me get the guy's name.
Well, Alan while you're Foster. Doing that, has LeVar had any statements about this yet?
I haven't seen anything. The only statement quiet. I've seen was Lonzo about cutting ties with Alan Foster. And then also Lonzo's manager posting a video of a pair of Big Baller Brand shoes and tossing them down a garbage chute that said hashtag, Ooh. Like, burn your merch or throw away your merch or something.
I just wish that all of the imagery in their post had been a little less subtle, because I'm not sure what it means.
Right.
I agree. So do you think there's going to be a diss track?
Oh, for sure.
On the next solo album?
For sure.
And do you think it's going to be bad?
I think it will
Without
be
a doubt.
Better. It'll be bad, but it'll be better than the Lonzo Lance collab.
I can promise that at least 5 to 10 Twitter users will say, yo, that Lonzo diss track low-key goes, though.
Fire? Like, fire?
It's those Lakers fans that say tank season, but SZN, and then they have a little Pepe the Frog wearing the weird hoodies that go way too far over your head.
No thanks.
I'm okay with the Lonzo Ball tattoo cover-up. I don't think I'm okay with the way he covered it up. I heard it's just like Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes peeing on the Big Baller Brand logo. And then with a little, and then just up high, there's the Nike symbol on a little magic carpet up above it.
There you go.
safe and dry from the pee.
He changed the BBB to AAA and is trying to get some money from the car people. That's the joke. The joke is over.
Where's my
applause? Let's give it up for the joke, everybody.
I enjoyed it.
Can I get some soundboard for the AAA joke?
There it is. My guy.
Get this AAA battery sponsorship. That's also the end of the joke. Thank you so much.
AAA minor league baseball. Let's see how long we can keep this going.
All right, moving on. No, we can't do this.
trying first tattoo in the phone book tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
He got a AAA tattoo because when someone asks you about Big Baller Brand, you go, because you're like, oh, no, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking good.
speaking of the bad Laker fan Twitter pictures.
Seamless.
I found one of those with a take associated with it. First of all, at Los Lakers Nation, their Twitter name is LeVar Ingram with a little white clock emoji as if to simulate a white check mark, even though they're not verified.
I love those. They fool me.
And then their picture is a, I think, purposely bad Photoshop of Giannis wearing a Lakers jersey. Anyway,
they're never purposeful. I hate to break it to you, but I see those on Instagram all the time, and it's always the Lakers, and they're always horrible. It's the most graphic design is my passion shit imaginable.
Yeah, so maybe I'll retweet this on our account, but this is their take. It's clear that the Lakers are not making the playoffs now, and so their response to that was, they whooped the Warriors' ass with a full healthy squad. So yeah, let's not act like the Lakers wouldn't have been a headache for teams.
That's pretty spicy.
They've been a headache for me all year, regardless.
associated with it, someone else screenshotted it and made another Photoshop of a Lakers banner hanging in the rafters that underneath says, would have been a headache 2018-2019, which I thought was very good.
That is good.
I love that attitude. Like, yeah, we would have been a headache, so like, I'm happy.
If we sucked less, then we would have been good enough to lose closely.
That's insanely Spurs mentality, yeah, like all the way through. If we got through the 8th seed Grizzlies in the first round of the playoffs, we absolutely would have destroyed the Warriors.
Consider this, consider this. We would have been good.
If Derek Fisher didn't do that thing 15 years ago, Kawhi would still be here.
Damn you, Andrew Bynum.
I know.
Can we very briefly talk about a good Giannis Photoshop?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Happened, I believe, just last night, where P.J. Tucker and James Harden came to the Bucks-Rockets game together, and P.J. Tucker wore a I'm with MVP hoodie and was standing next to James Harden with the arrow pointing to him. And then after,
oh, my God, I thought that was real. I didn't recognize that it was P.J. Tucker. I thought it was Giannis Antetokounmpo's dad. I'm absolutely not kidding. I thought that was his father, and then it still had the Harden and the P of MVP, but it was next to Antetokounmpo, and I'm like, wow, that's like sixth-level irony. That was P.J. Tucker?
That's P.J. Tucker with James Harden.
Okay, but when they photoshopped to be Giannis and like deep fake me, that's still PJ Tucker?
Yes.
Oh my God, I don't know what PJ Tucker looks like.
Where were you when you found out what PJ Tucker looks like? Bo was right here on the Full Court Mess podcast.
I totally thought that was Giannis's dad. I don't know why I immediately jumped to that, but he looks much more like a father.
I love the. That's the most insult. Usually when you say someone is another NBA player's dad, it's a compliment. Like they own them on the court. But this is definitely the most insulting way of doing it.
Yeah, dude, I thought that was like a 56-year-old.
plays he plays hilarious. Plays like one.
He does.
Oh.
But he's okay, carrying the shoes, classic PJ.
Back to the Spurs, but also to PJ Tucker. When Harden dropped 61 on us, which was a little bit of a bummer, my poor big four-headed boy, Derek White, would just constantly run into the moving screen that Tucker and Gordon were setting at half court, because he would always just run train speed into some brick wall that like shifted 3 feet away from where they started. I was screaming at the TV so loud. It was bad. I was freaking out my dog.
That is my favorite shit about college guys who are relatively new to the NBA, who it's still early on, is when they think they can still full court press.
Yeah.
They were like way better athletes than the dudes they were facing in college. They'd get some bum across them from on the court and they'd press him full court and he would just shit his pants and give them the ball. And then they like do it in the NBA to Russell Westbrook.
And Dele's still try to do it.
He's
firmly in his 30s.
The only one I respect is Pat Bev can still do it. No one else.
That's true. Pat Bev can do it.
But if anyone... Pat Bev, you have to let him do it, because if you try to go by him, he might tear your meniscus.
Ooh. Yeah, that's fair.
The Bucks played the Rockets last night and won handily, and they had like four or five backcourt steals for layups, like off of the inbound pass. They would just sit behind Chris Paul and like jump in front of him and steal it. Bledsoe did it two or three times. A couple other guys, Connaughton did it once. They would just like sit there and like, oh, thanks, and like layup. Like, I don't know if the inbounder just wasn't looking or what, but
that was the best part of all the Bucks doing like the now we know Giannis is the MVP after the game last night was Eric Bledsoe was the best player on the court.
By far, yes.
It was like I saw like the Bucks tweet out like that's an MVP stat line, and it was Giannis with 19 and 14.
Yeah.
And I was like, it is?
Yeah, it was like a fine game. It was not a dominant game at all.
Yeah.
He played well. But
and Harden played decently well too. It wasn't bad.
They were just both markedly worse than Ebled.
If the Rockets supporting players would have hit all the open shots they would have had, Harden would have had probably 15 assists instead of 6 or 7 that he had, which would have been a triple-double. So Harden had a great game too.
Hey, it might be a triple-double, but it's not 19 and 14.
That's right. Hey, people forget this.
People forget. I have a little question for you guys, kind of.
Hit me.
So this at Sam Sniped tweeted a picture of this player, so you guys get to guess who it is based on the caption. Y'all heard of Jason Kidd, Stephen Curry, Russell Westbrook? Imagine that as one player. Guess who's in the picture?
Bryn Forbes.
No.
Michael Carter Williams.
Ooh, no.
A Photoshop that mixes Jason Kidd, Stephen Curry, and Russell Westbrook.
That would rule. It's
Jason Williams.
It's Lonzo Ball.
What the fuck?
Of course it is.
When's this from?
This is from the 26th of March.
What,
in 2019.
Okay, wait, hold on.
2019.
Okay. So this, okay.
This went up yesterday.
It's the bad three-point shooting of Jason Kidd's early career, the fragile ankles of Stephen Curry's early career.
Yep.
And the...
oh my God, this is yesterday.
What about Russell Westbrook?
The nobody likes him of Russell Westbrook's late
The
career.
Nobody likes him of Russell Westbrook. Yeah, there we go. It's a spot-on analogy.
The Lyft driver in the tweet that was my Lyft driver just said Lonzo Ball has the purest jumper he's ever seen.
That's a take.
He then followed up with, unsurprisingly, he missed our exit.
This the reply from Jaron XYZ says, man, too bad there isn't a player like that. Guess we'll have to keep having to imagine.
Can you all imagine the hill you die on? Being Lonzo Ball is going to be incredible. He's going to be fine, right? He's probably going to be like a mid-tier starting point guard once he gets totally healthy, God willing, right?
Right.
But, like, this guy's the next Magic Johnson. This guy's Scottie Pippen with a shot. I don't really know anything about Scottie Pippen. I didn't start
watching. Scottie Pippen is basically Lonzo Ball without a shot. So, I mean, you're on a good track.
All right. But that's the worst hill.
It's right next to the hill with people who have Big Baller Brand tattoos.
Oh, my God. Are there other people with Big Baller Brand tattoos?
Oh, for sure.
There's, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, Big Baller Brand was like a movement.
It was big.
It defined the generation.
It was a brand, baby.
True.
It caused me to call a whale shark at the Georgia Aquarium a quote-unquote big baller. So.
Oh, no.
It was pretty influential.
They kick you after that?
I said it like really quietly.
Okay. Well, let's move on to a returning segment we do every now and then called Patch Notes. Much like when NBA 2K updates its game with notes on, you know, player stats that were changed. We're going to update all you on real-life player stats that were changed. I'll start it off. I'm going to give Kemba Walker a minus 20 to his faith in team and faith in teammate statistic after turning away when his teammate shot a half-court buzzer beater to win the game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say last night against the Spurs when he dropped like 22 in a row and never passed it.
Nah, it's a plus 15 okay. for Kluck because they won the game because he did it.
Yeah, that's, right. That's true.
But when Jeremy Lamb shot that half-court lob, if you watch that video again, Kemba like just turns around like defeated before the ball's even at its peak.
We've seen it, Jared. It was a pretty big deal.
I like to imagine that like if it hadn't been Jeremy Lamb, that he would have like been excited. Like Jeremy Lamb never hits the half-court bombs.
If it was Kaminsky or Tony Parker, he would have been like, "Yep, going in, baby."
Oh yes, we got it. That's not even the best reaction in the video though. The best reaction in that video is Fred VanVleet at the free throw line, because he's just like disgusted. He just like throws his arms up in the air, like you got to be kidding me.
Right.
Yeah, Kawhi kind of did that too. It looked like he was celebrating for a bit. He gave a little hop, but then he went back to shit.
Kawhi Hornet next year. Anybody?
Confirmed?
Oh, my God.
All right.
Who's going to be the super team? Is it going to be the Clippers?
I give it a 70% chance.
That's funny.
What do you think?
Lob City 2.0 of Kemba and Kawhi.
The very quiet new Showtime.
I would love that. Kemba and Kawhi, that'd be fun.
That would rule.
They're both free agents, right?
Yeah.
Throw in a I don't know. I want to say Klay Thompson, but that feels like it's too much.
Whoa!
Who else?
Don't say that.
Who else? Who else? No, I don't, it might be a little bit less than Klay Thompson, but still a lot.
Anthony Davis.
I don't know.
A little bit AD? Less than Klay Thompson.
That's it. That's
Jimmer Fredette.
Ooh, that's there you
it,
go.
Baby. All right, let's move on.
I know Joe you have another
I've patch got a patch note. Note. Yeah.
Around that.
I want to give the ref in the Blazers game that tripped over Yusuf Nurkic's compound fractured leg.
I'm very sorry to interrupt you, Joe. Do you just call him Yusuf Nurkic?
Yusuf?
Yusuf?
Is that right?
I think it's Yusuf.
It's with a Y. Yeah.
Yusuf? Yusuf. Okay.
You don't pronounce the J.
It's like, yeah, it's kind of like okay. Jonas.
Yeah. You are unbelievably canceled right now.
Oh, my God.
Last man standing over here. Sheesh. Oh, no, that's the conservative TV show. I'm canceled, too.
Oh no.
He's done it.
Oh? Sorry. There it is.
There it goes.
I don't want to give mine. It's not good enough.
Do it.
Do it or you cancel. That's not bad.
Was that a slide whistle?
Canceled. He's so canceled. All right.
Anyways, so continue.
Anyway, the ref in the Blazers game who tripped over Yusuf Nurkic's compound fractured leg, I want to give minus 1,000 awareness for that. That was unbelievable. prayers up for Yusuf on a quick recovery. That sucks a lot. He was having a great year. He was having a career night that night too. It just sucks.
Yeah.
Every year something seems to go wrong for the Blazers. You know, you hate to see it. You really do.
Are there hot Philadelphia fan takes that are still all bitter about when he said hell no to a Ben Simmons free throw or something? They're like, well, yeah, he deserved it. He deserved to have.
There might be a few of those out there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if there weren't any of those.
Like, did the Sixers win account do any fun classic movie gags of Yusuf Nurkic just absolutely destroying his leg?
I mean, I'll check right now.
It's possible.
I don't know. That's reminded
me if he's willing to look at the did the Sixers win account.
I know. Looking at honestly, the did the Sixers win account is like, months. I think looking at this account is braver than watching Nurkic's injury.
It makes you braver than the troops, that's for sure.
Ooh, you heard it here first.
That's for damn sure. The did the Hawks win account is my new favorite one because it's always one word, yes or no, and it's mostly no.
For now.
It, honestly, they've been pulling it out a little bit, you know?
They're like 7-9 post All-Star break.
Well, yeah. Trey Young, he's working. I might go to a game. I know they have a new arena.
I gotta say, I was there this past weekend, and I was there at the game where he hit the game winning floater as time expired to beat Philadelphia.
Dude, that ruled.
Oh, dude, that ruled.
That shot was awesome,
and it was great. Trey Young is a blast, and I love him.
Mm-hmm.
A certified son.
Yeah, he's a son. The thing that really seals it above everything else, like I enjoy a lot, but the thing that really seals it is how every time he throws an alley-oop, he jumps with his teammate as they jump and slam the alley-oop.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
There's a supercut of it, and I got to see him do it once with John Collins during the game, and it's delightful. It's really cute. I love it.
That rules.
Dude, if the Hawks get Zion, I'm going to have to jump ship from the Spurs.
Yeah,
I'm very sorry for my forehead, boys, but I mean, like, that would rule so hard. I'd go to every game.
We are a very pro Hawks Zion podcast.
Yes.
I was walking out of the arena just telling people that I was a Hawks fan who weren't even asking. I was like, yeah, I'm a
Hawks fan. Hey, babe, I'm a Hawks
fan. Don't ask about my previous teams that I've been a fan of.
Fan here. I was wearing a soccer shirt there, so I felt good that I could just claim any team.
One of the Atlanta United. That's the thing. There's no Hawks fans, so you can't call any of them bad, right? But the Atlanta United fans here, holy shit, they're awful. And I worked at Target like a month ago, and Atlanta United went to the championship. I guess that was actually like December. I wanted to spit at each and every one of them. They wouldn't shut up. Are you going to the game? No, I'm working at Target, asshole. Also, I don't care about your fucking MLS soccer. I'm not a psychopath.
For record, I wasn't wearing
that. That's why you don't work at Target anymore.
No, I don't work at Target anymore because I crashed my car with a dump truck.
Oh.
I know. Spring break.
It do be like that sometimes.
We've all been there.
Like that.
Believe it or not.
I know.
But I was actually wearing a gray West Ham shirt, so I looked like I had no allegiance to anyone.
Nice. I love gray. That's my favorite team color.
There you go.
I'm actually realizing that my team's color is mostly gray.
Slam. Yeah. Do you have any of the digi camo?
My god. Fuck out of here with that. Oh, I hate every single year. Well, we're not going to do another city edition. We're just going to keep with the digital camo. And nobody likes it. Every single Spurs fan I've ever seen on Twitter is just like, give us Fiesta colors. Give us Fiesta colors. You could do so much with the Fiesta colors. It would be the coolest jersey you've done since the fucking Fiesta colors. And they don't. They won't give it to us.
Out of respect for the troops.
The
Spurs. The damn troops are ruining my jersey.
The Spurs just make gear. They make like fan gear for people who would hate anything that Popovich actually says.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. I completely believe that all of the septuagenarian Spurs fans that live in San Antonio just have to like immediately turn the TV off as soon as the game's over. Like, Spurs, they can't handle it.
Spurs make gears for like jazz fans.
Danny Green's post was actually just fan servicing.
Oh, oh shit. I mean,
that is why Kawhi left, because he was a Republican.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite theories.
I just want to jump in with, I saw Bo's tweet from January where the Coyote was shaking hands with cops. And someone called him a class traitor in the reply.
Somebody replied. They didn't even say anything else. They just said class traitor. Fucking funny.
I love that. I love that tweet.
It's good.
Joe?
Joe, you're any more patch notes out there? I don't want
to. I don't know, man. I'm not a very clever person, but I'm just so angry at DeMar DeRozan for taking the dumbest fadeaway two-pointer that he possibly could have taken. After 14 seconds of dribbling at half court in really Devin Booker fashion, to just take exactly where everyone knew where he was going to go into a contested shitty fadeaway jumper when he had four shooters on the floor, or three shooters in LaMarcus Aldridge, ready to just fucking tear apart the Hornets. And so I'm going to give him -5, good player.
Okay.
I love it. Big Bo's a big DeMar DeRozan fan.
Yeah. DeMar DeRozan.
I stuttered.
I'm going to
please stop owning me.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Oh no.
All right, Joe, take us away.
This is going to segue perfectly into my retro take for the day. This one comes to us from the year 2008, from Yahoo Answers. And the question asker hits us with this. Are the Spurs ruining NBA basketball?
They sure are.
Yes.
The asker goes on. The San Antonio Spurs abused the rules of the game to win in the series against the Suns. Their hack and shack style of gameplay was not only boring to watch, it was also frustrating for anyone who wanted to see an actual game be played. They also flop around the court working to draw fouls and are constantly complaining to the refs when they don't draw a foul. Sure, they have 3 championships, but does that really make them the best team in the NBA, given the way their game time is so boring and uninteresting?
Wait, did you say 2008?
Mm-hmm.
They had 4 championships.
It might have been during that season or something. I don't know.
No, they won in 07. They won in the 06-07 season. Oh,
well, this is clearly an informed question asker.
I know.
Get on there and reply.
All right.
Call them out.
Excuse me.
The Spurs fucking suck, man. And the first step to being a Spurs fan is understanding that you're going to watch just the funniest and stupidest basketball of all time. Do you know, but once you like really dig in, do you know how exhilarating it was for me to watch Kyle Anderson just meander along the court? It's so much fun just to watch these slobby, misshapen dudes just roaming around and winning game after game. It's
right.
A great experience. Like, look at Thiago Splitter and tell me that that's a basketball player. And look at Bryn Forbes and tell me that that's a fucking starting point guard on an NBA team.
I won't do that.
Oh, okay. Shit.
I didn't really listen to many of the questions that your hot taker actually posited, though. So what was he saying? That Hack-a-Shack is bad?
No. He said Hack-n-Shack. Like, hack with 2 apostrophes around an N in the middle. Hack-n-Shack. Like, it's a board game or something.
I don't really understand what that means.
And they were hacking, but they were also shacking, so they must have been dominant inside.
Hack and shack.
Isn't
shacking
when you start living with your girlfriend before you marry her, and Laura Schlesinger doesn't like that?
Nice.
Yeah. Which is not the Spurs way.
They must have been mad at Tony Parker, because he would be the one to do some mess like that.
True.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I think it's funny too, to get mad about a Spurs-Suns series. You'd think you'd be mad about the NBA suspending the Suns players for leaving the bench thing. No one really complains about Hack-a-Shack. They complain about all of the Suns' like best players getting suspended for like game 7.
I would also have to say that the part where Bruce Bowen tried to murder, or maybe it was Robert Ory, but whoever tried to kill Steve Nash and came damn close, I would, if I were a Suns fan, be somewhat upset.
Yeah, and that's like right before they all got suspended for leaving the bench.
Right, yeah.
So there's
fucking bullshit.
There's one game to be like mad about, and I don't know any Suns fans who are like looking back angry about them fouling Shaq.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Asker is a Suns fan.
He doesn't sound
like... For the record.
This is a allegedly totally objective neutral party. So
This is a guy wearing a t-shirt that just says fan of the NBA on it.
I do want to say,
in 2008, somebody really mad at the Spurs, that would probably be a Suns fan. Maybe a Lakers guy?
Maybe.
No, because
I don't have any conclusive evidence.
The way he said it in the Yahoo, the way he complains about the Spurs very much comes off as someone who like doesn't understand basketball.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't sound like he's a Suns fan.
Like
anyone that says Hack and Shaq?
Yeah. And anyone like who
Shack,
anyone who claims that the Spurs are ruining basketball but are also like incredibly boring at the same time, like it just means you don't know what you're watching.
Now the Spurs are J. Cole.
Oh fuck. I'm a J. Cole fan now. Oh, it's bad.
Finally.
So the asker is his take in the question is that the Spurs are ruining NBA basketball because they abused the rules of the game to win in the series.
Well, shit, that's what I talk about, like about the Rockets and how, like, by abusing contact rules, they get to the line 60 times a night, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe this dude's me. Maybe this was me as an 8-year-old ripping on my own team.
The thing I think we need to dig into is no one on earth calls it NBA basketball except for Hubie Brown and that one Kings announcer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So it has to be one of them. Who answered this question, Joe? What kind of answers we got?
Yeah.
The best answer, which got 4 out of 5 stars, is from Anonymous. It's from Anonymous. I assume the hacker organization. So it says, I don't like them. Stan McNeil article best describes them as, quote, winning when nobody's watching. They never defend their title because when they are focus of other teams, they never able to step up. But when other teams are champion, they are able to sneak into the finals unnoticed. Okay, pause here.
What the fuck is going on?
Wait, this is an amazing take.
Hold on.
That they suck because they can't win back-to-back titles and that they always sneak in on other teams. And
they sneak in unnoticed. That is the take.
Also, like,
the team that you're playing in the finals isn't paying attention.
Winning when no one's watching is amazing. If you've got the Suns only win when someone's watching.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron didn't know they were in the finals in 2007. And was just like, oh, we won the championship. And then, bam, Spurs show up and sweep them.
Yep.
That ruled.
They just basically, they cash in Money in the Bank at the end of every NBA season. But they never win the title straight up.
They didn't earn this.
The take goes on here. So they're able to sneak into the finals unnoticed. It's simply not meeting the opposition head on. They always try to win by sidestepping the opponents. It's not a warrior or fighter mentality, and they shouldn't even have illusions of being dynasty. Really, their finals opponents were the Cavs, who were too raw and undermanned when they entered the finals. They never succeeded at the height of the Lakers era because they can't compete. They beat up the Suns every time. But who are the Suns anyway?
A fucking Suns fan. Oh, no, maybe not.
I think it's a Laker fan.
They bookmarked the Laker era. They like they're at the beginning and the end of it.
I don't understand how you can say they've won all these championships, but they're not a dynasty, despite the fact that it's essentially the same team throughout. Because they didn't win all the championships in between.
Like,
so this guy thinks that the Bill Russell era Celtics and then the three-peat Lakers are the only dynasties ever. Jordan.
He thinks Jordan's Bulls were two separate dynasties.
That's correct, yes.
And it's not even that they aren't a dynasty. It's that they shouldn't even have illusions of being dynasty.
They're not called tricks. They're called illusions.
This is a dumb take, dude.
This is an incredible take. Can we talk about the Cavs being too raw? Because that implies all of the players on the 2007 Cavs were going to get good at some point, which did not happen.
Yeah, the Jiri Dudauskas was just like 2 years away from becoming a superstar.
They weren't raw, man. They sucked.
Mo Williams is still working on it. That was 12 years ago.
Oh, no.
I remember that. It was so funny because I was a 7-year-old staying up watching the end of the game, and I was expecting like confetti to fall from like the ceiling of the Quicken Loans Arena. But it didn't, because why would they celebrate the Spurs sweeping them? Would have ruled, though. Like, they're just really good sports about it.
You want to hear this?
They've got Spurs-colored confetti up there also.
I've heard their locker rooms still smell like champagne.
Yeah. All right, check out this Raw Cavs roster. This is 06-07, right? Or is it 07-08?
Bear Jow was on it, because it was the closest he got. No, it wasn't the closest he got. It was when he was almost on the Warriors roster when they won.
Are we looking at 06-07 or 07-08 here?
06-07.
Okay, check this out. This is Raw Cavs. Shannon Brown.
Greatest miss dunk of all time, I stand.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Daniel Gibson. Drew Gooden.
All right.
Larry Hughes.
Was he 99? Who's the guy that had the big number on his jersey? I don't really remember much from when I was 7 years old. I have to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Drew Gooden was 90.
Yeah.
There you go. 90. You remember more than you think.
Drew Gooden. Yeah. It was only a matter of time before he was Drew Bestin.
Damn it.
Y'all went separate directions. You got to coordinate that next time.
He was raw. He was 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Bruno Caboclo had 20 points the other night. Sorry.
I love that Bruno Caboclo will be forever the 2 years away from being 2 years away guy. Forever.
Beautiful. Sorry, I just had to throw that in. I got excited. Back to this roster.
Larry Hughes.
An all-time son. Thank you.
Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
He's a one-time all-star.
LeBron James.
Mike Conley could never.
Boom. LeBum James. Thanks.
Yeah, true. LeChoke. LeBron's. James.
Damon Jones. Dwayne Jones. Danielle Marshall.
Newell. To be fair to the guy that answered it, this team fucking sucks. Like, oh my god.
Sasha Pavlovich. Eric Snow. Anderson Varejao.
Hold up. Nope. Eric Snow was on.
He was like the starting point guard. Yeah.
He was on the 07 Cavs and the 01 Sixers.
Yeah.
That's an incredible, like, I've been on every team where the whole point was that everyone who wasn't the superstar sucked. There should be an award for that. Like, you're the guy who was on every team where there weren't any good players, but one generational one.
This would be like a second tier Hall of Fame where just people who are bad, we were like, we'll remember you anyway, buddy.
Yeah, it's just like Eric Snow and Smush Parker.
Yeah.
Then last but not least, David Wesley.
Did you go through Mo Williams, or am I wrong about that?
I don't.
He was on the team later. I think he was on the Bucks during this time.
My God, really? They didn't even have Mo Williams.
Oh my God, this team is.
This was not a good team.
Too raw.
15-32.
Yeah.
Coached by Mike Brown.
He carried him. Mike Brown carried him.
So Yahoo Boy is getting mad at the Spurs for beating that team. And like, you didn't even have any competition. Like, there was anyone in the East that could possibly challenge that Cavs team in 2006-2007. Bad take.
True, bad take.
Bad take, bad take.
That's all I got.
Shout out to Joe for that one, though, because I had no idea how good of a take that was going to end up being.
That was great.
It took such a turn in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that just kept going, man.
Bo, I believe you had a question for us.
I did. So it recently emerged that this last December, a la Russell Westbrook saying to some jazz racist, which is kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? That's funny. Yeah, that he was going to like kill his wife or something, right?
Yep.
He said, I'll fuck you up, I think, right? You and your wife?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blake Griffin said in December to some fan that called him boy, right? Like straight out Django Unchained, I'll fuck you up or something. And now that's coming out. And what I, man, really botched this delivery on here. Who is going to be the NBA player that starts up the next Malice in the Palace? And what is going to happen to them to start it? What's going to be the beer bottle?
I was thinking about this a lot. There's going to be a game, and Spencer Hawes is going to hear someone in the crowd not being
ready. Oh, yeah, player.
And he's going to run up there and beat the shit out of them for not saying a slur.
Okay.
And then his entire team is going to jump in the crowd and help the crowd beat the shit out of Spencer Hawes.
You know, I think you're sleeping on Gordon Hayward having a heated gaming moment.
Someone's going to tell Gordon that he's not even that good as a jungle, and he is going to absolutely lose it.
Ooh.
What you got, Joe?
Oh, man. I'm thinking of, like, hot-headed players that might just get into it. Draymond Green comes to mind. I could see him wanting to throw hands. Oh, man, there were a few others I had in mind that I can't think of.
I think while you're thinking, I think an important thing with this conversation, too, is that, like when this happens, it's definitely a problem with fans. And we kind of touched on this earlier with when we had Brent. Is that, like, while NBA culture and, like, fan culture is definitely, like, getting better, it also means, like, exposing the bad parts, right? Mm-hmm. And that's definitely, like, part of what's happening. It's what happened with the Jazz. And that whole ordeal with Westbrook and that fan is that kind of had to happen of exposing this guy and kicking him out. And he definitely shouldn't have said all that stupid and racist shit. And it's definitely a problem. And you hear players complain about it all the time. And, like, you know, players have to restrain themselves all the time, like, when they're playing. Mm-hmm. And they hear all this shit. But that being said, like, it definitely is, like, a matter of time before, like, something worse happens, I think. And I mean we can't, like, blame it on the players.
No, we're going to be extremely pro player when they come out.
I am pro player all the way.
It's going to be awesome, except for how bad the public reaction is going to be.
Yeah,
I think the catalyst might even be, like, way worse than the beer bottle too. Like, I know that they don't even let beer bottles in the game anymore because of that incident, right?
Yeah.
But somebody might fucking bring a brick or some shit. Like, tensions are high out there.
It's like, well, although, like, incredible restraint shown by the, they shouldn't have to, but shown by the players so far that it hasn't happened yet with reports. Like, Boogie talked about being called slurred.
Yeah, Boogie, like, Boogie is another one on my list just based on the level of hatred he seems to have directed toward him. The fact that he would just, like, one of these times just go off. Like, why wouldn't he?
I do like that both Russ and Blake said that they're going to fuck the person up, because now I'm imagining in the rookie training, when they get all the rookies together, that's what they teach them. They're like, yo, they're going to say a bunch of racist shit, hold it back until you can't anymore, and then when you can't, just promise that you'll fuck them up.
Take you on. You're a monster. You're Russell fucking Westbrook.
Yeah, you're, like, dunking on, like, 7'2" guys, and then, like, a 5'9" guy in the stand starts calling you slurs.
Wearing a MAGA hat.
No, wearing a camo Jazz hat, thank you.
Same thing.
There it is.
I mean, shouts out to Westbrook. Like, Westbrook has shown a lot of restraint in a lot of different fan interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kid fucking hitting him on the sideline. That
was fucking weird.
That kid is lucky, like, Russ turned around and saw who it was before retaliating.
Yeah.
And restrain your children, you... I was at the Hawks game, and I was next to this family that had kids just throwing shit during the game.
What?
It was like, get control of your children, because something bad is going to happen.
Yeah. There's also that time that other Courtside fan was flipping off Westbrook.
Oh, the Philadelphia dude?
Yeah, and Russ just turned around and made that face.
And made, like, a who's man.
But then that guy after a game just, like, rushed Westbrook and bumped into him.
Yes.
That guy did?
Some other guy.
No, different. It was a young, like, a 20-something guy.
Yeah. Just kind of like rushed him, and Westbrook was like, get the fuck away from me.
That was like Nuggets or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Dude, I'd have to be afraid if I were out there. Like, when the bats come on in San Antonio and every away team freaks the fuck out, like, that's also, that's a lot of that is because they're on guard for someone to, some psychopath to just come out and kill them, right? Yeah. Some manifestoed asshole decides, I gotta do something for my country and kill LaMarcus Aldridge.
It's an odd.
This is a depressing end to the episode.
No, but I mean, it's important. It's worth noting. Like,
no, we're not saying that it's important that someone kill LaMarcus Aldridge.
No.
It's important that nobody does that. In fact,
exactly.
Like, yeah.
And like back to Boogie, people fucking hate Boogie.
It's like, mob mentality kind of deal. They just there's no never any consequence to completely just saying the most vile, disgusting shit to him.
Yeah, people hate him. They hate Draymond. They hate like any outspoken and like expressive player. I mean, they hate Westbrook now. I mean, let's face it. Like the problem with all these people is that they just can't stand to see like a minority be expressive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
It's. And I mean, they're not even fucking, they're playing basketball like a little harder than other people would, right?
Yeah.
Boogie, sometimes there's that clip of the game where he tried to take on Duncan and he got absolutely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, can you fucking imagine what they do if these people got political? Like when LeBron James got trashed by Laura fucking Ingram, right?
Right.
Can you imagine what would happen if DeMarcus Cousins did that?
Right.
You get death threats. Well, he already does. You get bombs sent to his house.
Can you imagine the shit that Wilt had to go through?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine what Kareem went through?
Also, they did, but I always go back to all the old heads always say that, like, when they talk about LeBron being controversial and they say, like, he's, like, the second most controversial player in NBA history, and that's because they never put anyone above Wilt. Like,
yeah.
Kareem was outspoken politically, but Wilt talked about banging white women. Like,
they Wilt also changed the whole like salary of the NBA.
Right.
They wanted
like that alone. He was just like, "No, I'm not playing unless you pay me more than anyone else has ever been paid." Like,
they must have like wanted to kill that man. It must have been insane.
Oh, I'm sure he needed
that rules.
Big security.
Wilt rules, dude.
He does.
That's great.
Most of those like super old players, like Bill Russell too.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Russell is the GOAT. He's amazing, and Kareem too.
When he flipped off like Draymond at the NBA awards, dude, I fucking love Bill Russell.
Bill Russell's like late, like Renaissance has been so fun with him just like fucking around.
Yeah,
and being like overall endearing to everyone.
Kareem does poetry now, right? Where can I find that?
Kareem does like a lot of stuff.
I know I think he's written like a book.
Yeah.
Kareem like an anthology of poems.
Didn't he just donate like millions of dollars to like education or it was something?
Yeah, he auctioned.
No, that was actually Chance the Rapper. They are different people.
Ooh.
That was canceled. Chance the Rapper? Again.
I'm sorry. I believe you're thinking of Kent Bazemore?
Oh, yeah.
On the.
Did Kent give to Atlanta schools? That's nice.
On the basketball side of things, Kareem had a great take. I think just earlier today, it might have been yesterday, where he said he didn't understand why more players didn't adopt the or don't even to this day adopt the skyhook into their game.
Dude, he's totally fucking right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not sure. It's like Steph Curry asking why people don't take more threes.
Like, yeah.
If you're the only guy who's been that good with it, of course you're confused why others don't do it. But Kareem was out here hitting 16-foot skyhooks. The reason other people don't do that is because they can't.
It's hard.
Yeah, that's probably true. But, like,
easy to
in
do.
The paint floater, I still think needs to get more coverage than it does because it's one of the higher efficiency shots for, like, average players. Your Etuan Moores and such, right? They can really, really get a career going with that little floater in the paint.
Oh, man, if you're a floater, man.
I'm going to do it more.
Let me introduce you to the school of Justin Jackson.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
floater.
I don't really know anything about Justin Jackson. I'm sorry.
He just loves floaters.
Okay.
Thon Maker, that's another player that I think could get in the stands and start a malice in the palace because we've seen what he can do on the court with his knees.
Ooh.
True.
Just had to sneak that in there, just like the Spurs sneaking in to the NBA Finals.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, baby. There it is.
Hell fucking yeah. Never count out the Spurs unless they play the Grizzlies.
All right, we want to get to the thinker. This has been a long one.
Yeah. We'll get to thinker.
Honestly, this has been a very nice time, boys.
It's been great. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Before we close out, Joe has some information to share.
Ah, yes. So our beautiful opening and closing music that you hear is by a Milwaukee artist named Culla. He has a new album dropping in 1 month, April 27th. It's called Spectacula, which is a pun, and it's going to be amazing. You can find it on his website, which I think is just culla.com.
Can you spell
that? Spelled CULLAH.com. Okay. So his music is all Creative Commons, like free use and everything. We just have to credit him, royalty free. He releases a new album every year on his birthday, which is April 27th. It's awesome. You can back him on Kickstarter. He's got great tunes. He's got his whole anthology on his website. It's on Spotify. It's everywhere you can find music. So please support him if you can. If not, just listen to his music anyway.
Fuck you, man. Mm, that's what if not.
Everybody Bo gets it.
If Bo's everyone supporting. Who's saying Lonzo's rap is low-key fire, to say
I know.
Culla is high-key fire, then True. We could make it go viral.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And the song we use for the opening and closing is called Jazz Bass. It's on one of his earlier albums. You can find it.
It's all always of those listed. Things I said
before.
It's always listed in each episode bio as well. I'll also be sure to, for this episode, with the shout-out, add a link to his website.
For sure.
And then our second shout-out goes to Bo Quintana.
Yes!
I need some soundboard for this, man. I don't like the empty feeling.
Bo Quintana!
Okay, can I get the claps as well?
Yeah. Let's get it all. Everything.
Running the show!
At Bo Quintana.
My name is spelled. Thank you. My name is spelled BOQUINTANA, and that's the Twitter handle.
And the Twitter handle will be in our episode title as well.
Yeah. Y'all should all retweet every picture of Blaze that you ever see. Every time that a picture of Blaze the dog, my dog, gets more than 100 likes, she lives another year, so I'm trying to get her to 30. We're almost halfway there, and it's up to you. Only you can help. Thank you. It's been a great time. I really loved being on the show.
It's been great.
Thank you, Bo.
Great Spurs insight.
I know. That's all I know.
Great takes and questions.
Future Hawks fan, Bo Quintana.
True.
As only if they could sign. If it's RJ Barrett, I'm never gonna.
So future Hawks fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
Right. Well, like every episode, we do end with a thinker, just a tweet to think about. I have a tweet I found from John Gods, at John Gods, which we'll retweet it, and this has 2 likes. Is very underappreciated, and it says Jim Boylan looks like he should be on a judiciary committee concluding there was no collusion.
Fair.
That's accurate. Yeah,
I gotta Google this dude. Who's Jim Boylan?
That's the Bulls, the new Bulls coach.
Is the Bulls coach?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I don't fucking know him.
In the loosest sense very of fair. The word.
Yeah.
Oh, he is a smooth boy. Look at this guy.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Jim Boylan is Kingpin if Daredevil was a comedy.
Yeah. Jim Boylan is just like, I don't fucking. Oh, no.
He's Gru.
He's assistant. God damn it. Why does this always happen?
Every time I try to dunk on a fucking coach, it's always a Spurs assistant.
Yeah, but this is like if a Spurs assistant didn't learn anything.
Popovich, and the Bulls just responded, but you're not Popovich.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, I can't wait till that happens to Ime Udoka, dude. That's going to rule so hard. Like this. I can't wait for Ime Udoka to be a shitty, shitty coach, and I will cheer him on. Like, the sun is dying.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Boylan's out here proving that you can coach under Popovich and learn nothing from him. Anyways,
that boy is smooth, I got to say.
He is smooth. That's our thinker. Thanks again, Bo. Follow him on Twitter. He'll be in the bio. He'll be in the title. And it's important to remember, as we end every episode with, is that we have Full Court Mess. Love you.
Thank you very much.